can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread
Jesus,
Bible Studies with David
you.
Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Well, we've been talking about taking no prisoners, speaking of the old man. You just can't be reformed, Kenny. The only way for him is death. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. And we're learning a little bit about what the Bible says about that. And we also discovered that the land, according to the scriptures, is this natural life that we live in. And there's two men in this land seeking to take control over it. It's the old man, the Canaanite, and the new man, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So I'd like to continue with that in Numbers 13 and see what kind of nuggets the Lord can give us here. We're told in verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Which I give unto the children of Israel. It was already done. You know, he gave it right there by his spoken word. He can't take it back. He won't take it back. And so he listed, of course, below here the names of the men that he sent, princes from among the 12 tribes to go forth and spy out the land. And then down in verse 17, he says, And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way by the south and go up into the hill country and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. Now, I have a question here. I had a question since very early in my studies of the Bible. Why is it that God would send them to see how strong the enemy is? It didn't seem to matter anywhere else in the scriptures. And when David went to number the tribes of the people to see how strong they were to compare with their enemy, well, God brought a curse upon Israel. He brought a judgment upon them that took a few of them out, and then there was less of them to fight their enemies. And we understand that God's power is made perfect in weakness. So, therefore, the weaker we are, the more powerful we are. We've learned from the scriptures that when the odds are against us, that's actually in our favor. Not in the natural world, but in the kingdom it is. The Lord generally puts his people into a weak place before giving them the enemy so that they would understand that it is not their might, it's not their power that counts against an enemy, but what thus saith the Lord. What did God say? What does his word say? What has he wanted done? What does he desire done? So here we see that God is sending them out to see whether the enemy is strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad. Now, of course, he had already told them that it was a land flowing with milk and honey and how wonderful it was. So it was a matter of just believing what he had to say. But here he's telling them to go do this. And what cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it's fat or lean. He already told them it was a land full of fatness, you know, and whether there's wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Well, you know, I think Deuteronomy chapter 1 can probably give us a little wisdom concerning why the Lord did this, because he didn't do this in any other place. He didn't tell them to go and take stock of the enemy. And matter of fact, here in this place, he's telling them that I already give you this land, you know. And then Deuteronomy 1 and 19, let's read this. It'll give us a clue to what's going on here. And we journeyed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God giveth unto us. Okay, so it's a done deal. The Lord giveth it unto us, it's ours. Doesn't matter how big the enemy is or anything else. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and take possession. So he is basically saying something that wasn't listed there in Numbers, but it is listed here. Go on up and take it. He said it's yours, so go and take it. It really doesn't matter who he is. The Lord has already said it's ours. And it, as it goes on to say, as the Lord, the God of thy fathers, has spoken unto thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. So he had already spoken to him. Go and take the land. And then verse 22 says, and you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, let us send men before us, that they may search the land for us, and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up. Of course, the Holy Spirit's always led them through the wilderness. I mean, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. You don't need to know which way you go by going and looking at it. The Holy Spirit was leading them through this wilderness and against their enemies, you know. And he was going to continue to lead them against their enemies. And the cities unto which we shall come. And the thing pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one man for each tribe. And they turned and went into the hill country and came unto the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Why did it please Moses well? I mean, I suppose that God put this in his heart to do this. You know, we're seeing here that God had already said through Moses, God had already spoken to him before that, because Moses said so, but he already spoke through Moses to go and take possession, because the land's already been given unto you. But they said, well, we better go look. You know, we want to go look. And I suspect the difference between Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Numbers chapter 13 is the fact that when this has happened in other places in the scriptures, like for Balaam, for instance, I mean, Balaam, you know, was told by God he could not go and curse the children of Israel because they were blessed, but he was bribed by Balak, and so he had a selfish desire, and he went to God again, hoping God would change his mind. And God said, yeah, go. But when he did, the angel of the Lord was there waiting to kill him. So, I mean, you can be stubborn in your self-will and ask God until he says, yes, go. But it won't necessarily be for your good. How many of you think it's good to go size up the enemy to see if you're strong enough to take him out? I mean, if you're counting on your ability, your numbers, you're certainly going to lose. It always was that way in the scriptures. But when God's people trusted in him, even though they were vastly outnumbered, how much it really didn't matter. They went up and they won, no matter how many were coming against them and how big they were. And it goes on to say that they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God giveth unto us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. So after they looked, they didn't want to go. Because now they were comparing the size of the enemy and the fierceness of the enemy against them. And they reckoned that they couldn't do it because the only thing they had faith in was their own strength. And he goes on to say, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither are we going up? Our brethren have made our heart to melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. Cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. And then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until you came unto this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who sent before you in the way, who went before you in the way, to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in by fire, in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in the cloud by day. Amen. And if we consider the fact of what these Canaanites represented, they represent the old man. You know that the old man has beaten you all of your life. And you know that you have been brought under many of his curses. And you're used to being under his thumb. But of course, what they saw in Egypt, and Moses pointed out, was God's deliverance from Egypt through the blood of the Lamb and through the baptism in the Red Sea. They experienced these things. They experienced God parting the Red Sea and doing a mighty miracle of crucifying their old man. Yet now they weren't believing that God would conquer the old man of the land. And now it's that situation with many, many Christians, is they don't believe they can conquer the old man. They believe he's a giant in the land. They believe they can't conquer him because they never have before. But they're forgetting their great baptism unto death. They're forgetting their born-again experience. They're forgetting the blood of the Lamb, which delivered them out of all the power of the enemy, which crucified the old man. They're forgetting that they were crucified with Christ, and they don't live anymore. Christ now lives in them. They're forgetting all the things that God spoke unto them. And instead, they've got their eyes on the greatness of the old man, comparing themselves as if it had anything to do with their power to conquer the old man. How many Christians are in this situation? How many times have we been in this situation? And God saved us. You know, we when God sent them to see how strong the enemy was and how many the enemy was, and whether the land was good or bad, this just brought a great trial to them. If they would have just gone, like Moses told them in the first place, I believe before Numbers 13, Deuteronomy 1 was spoken, those things that the Israelites tried to get Moses to do, and God said, okay, go ahead. But it wasn't for their good, because it made their souls to melt. It made their hearts to weaken against their enemies, and it made them consider the size of the enemy rather than the size of God. I mean, if God said it, he meant it. He had power to make them stand. He had power against their enemies beyond anything they can imagine. And like just one angel killing 185,000 men and just totally stopping the war against Zion, and reversing the whole battle right there after they had conquered all of Israel. You know, the Lord doesn't need but one measly angel to turn things around. It's not a problem for him to conquer your old man. And each one of us even have ministering spirits that are sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. So, you know, there is nothing that God can't do for us. And he wants to encourage us in our battle against the old man, and we will take up our sword and go into the land, not considering anything about how strong the old man is, how strong the flesh is, how strong the devil is who uses the old man. You know, we do wrestle with principalities and powers, but they use the old man. They don't have any strength without their ally in the flesh. So let me read some more of Numbers 13 here. It says, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob to the entrance of Hamath. And they went up by the south and came unto Hebron and unto Ahiman and the Shishai and the Talmai. And the children of Anak were there. And now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the valley of Eschol, and cut down from thence a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they bare it upon a staff between two. And they brought also of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eschol because of the cluster which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And I brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Howbeit the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the fortified and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwelleth in the hill country. The Canaanite dwelleth by the sea along the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And of course, Caleb, you know, by his confession later on in this chapter, or in the next chapter actually, he stated this because of what God said. He knew they were able because God was with them. God went before them, as we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He went before them. It was he who was conquering the enemy. And in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And of course, we hear these preachers telling us the same thing in these days, people who are supposedly matured in the Lord, supposedly have gone and looked at the land for themselves. We know that Joshua went and spied out the land, you know, went before them and spied out the land. Joshua means Jesus. We know that Moses was unsuccessful in bringing them into the land because the law cannot perfect, according to Paul in Hebrews. And but Jesus brought them into the land. And Joshua is the same name for Jesus, and he brought them into the land successfully. And so it is today. You know, the law can't bring you into the land. It can't perfect those who are legalists, those who are following the letter instead of the Spirit. They can't bring you into the land, and they don't believe it's even possible because God is not doing it in their life because they don't believe. They've looked at the size of the enemy, and they tell you it's impossible to overcome sin. You're always going to be a sinner saved by grace, even though they can't find that in the Scriptures. So they really brag on the old man. They brag on how big he is, how powerful he is, and it can't be done. You're just going to have to settle for being forgiven. And so they want your heart to melt. They're false spies is what they are. They are not coming back with the word of the Lord in their mouth to encourage the people that they can conquer that old man. They don't have to live after the lust of their flesh anymore. They were crucified with Christ, and they don't live anymore. And they are not. And they, we are to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, and not pay any attention about the strength of the enemy. Just walk by faith. God will take care of that. And so these men, of course, 10 out of the 12, came back and brought this bad report. They weren't able to conquer these people. Same as we hear today. Same thing we hear today from people who are not sent by God, who are not overcomers, and have no business in the ministry whatsoever because they don't even believe what's written in the Word. And they went to an unbelieving Bible college, and they came back with an unbelieving doctrine, and they want to give it to an unbelieving people and make their hearts melt so that they don't believe that they can be perfected by God Almighty. They don't believe that God can do this. This is the only question. It's not a question of whether we can do this. The question is whether God can do this when we walk by faith in Him. See? And so they're unbelievers. They have no power. They have a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such, turn away. And if they don't teach you that you have been given this total victory and authority to walk into the promised land with the sword of the Spirit and put to death the old man, even as you were baptized in your own personal Red Sea experience, knowing that the old man's already dead and that he's no problem now because he's already dead, if you don't walk by faith in that and you see the old man is bigger than life, then he's going to conquer you, and you won't bear any fruit, because first of all, the old man has to die for the new man to come to life. There are many religious folks out there, very religious folks, that are convinced they're going to heaven. But Jesus said that the fruit of the Word of God, which he as the sower sows in your heart, has to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that is, of course, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, it's the Lord himself that displaces the old man. It's the Lord himself and his people. And he said he went before his people to conquer them, and he will go before us to conquer this old man. You don't have any temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. And that the Lord will also give you the victory, because he already gave you the victory. It's just not possible, folks. The only problem that we have is unbelief. The Lord's already conquered the enemy. He's already given us the land. So they said the men are not able to go up against this people. They're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. This is the whole problem, their sight, their sight. What they went to look at, what they saw. And in their sight, the enemy was too big to be conquered. And of course, they spoke it too. I've shared with you the dream I had many years ago about being in a war with the old man and the giants, and how that I had captured an old man and had him in a neck lock going through the woods when we saw the giant. And I turned the old man loose from the neck lock just long enough for him to speak to the giant, or speak to the situation, actually. And he said, bigger, bigger, bigger. And I knew that if that was permitted to go, that giant would be bigger, 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 you know. The situation would be impossible to overcome because of believing evil in my heart and confessing evil with my mouth. This is contrary to God's way of salvation in Romans chapter 10. And so I said no, and I turned and I chopped the old man that I'd captured in the Adam's apple with a karate chop, and said, smaller, smaller, smaller. And I knew that this was the way to conquer the giants, that which appeared to be giants. And literally, when I saw the giant was the same size as I was. He was not bigger. He was the same size as I was. But I knew that if I let that stand, if I let the old man do the speaking, that he would make this an impossible situation. And here we have it, folks. The old man is doing the speaking. These people who have no faith in God and have not obeyed his command, who came up with their own idea that they needed to go size up the old man, and after doing that, decided there was no way to whip him. And so I suggest to you that we don't make the same mistake. God may say, okay, go ahead. He does permit us to do that, you know. He permits us to size up the old man and see how big he is and how bad he is and how long he's been doing this to us and how we've never actually overcome him before and all these things, you know, that he lays out before us. And the devil speaks to us concerning this, and our heart melts. And of course, these men that did this, these spies that did this, all died in the wilderness because of this right here. Because they made the people's hearts to melt, and because they lied to them, they spoke contrary to the word of God. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11, And it says, and the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Well, that right there lets you know what it takes to be a mighty man of valor, because Gideon knew he was no mighty man of valor. But if the Lord is with you, you're a mighty man of valor. Our power has nothing to do with who we are. It has everything to do with who he is. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where are all his wondrous works, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath cast us off and delivered us into the hand of Midian. Oh, really? Was it really the Lord, or was it? Oh, yes, we know ultimately it was the Lord, but what was the purpose? The purpose was they walked in unbelief in their God, and they were conquered by their enemies. And the Lord looked up upon him and said, go in this thy might and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have not I sent thee? See, this is thy might, that the Lord has sent us. Not only has the Lord sent us, he is with us. So this is our might. Our might is the fact that he sent us to take a land that he has already given unto us. It is accomplished at the cross. He has given us this land, this natural life, to possess by the spiritual man, to rule this body by the spiritual man, not let it be ruled by the carnal man, by the lusts of the flesh, but to conquer him with the sword of the Spirit. Have not I sent thee? In other words, if God sends you, you can do it. It doesn't matter. You don't need to size yourself up in comparison with the old man. If he sent you, you can do it. Take the sword and go put him to death, right? And the fact is, he is with us, because if he sends you, he goes with you. And he said unto him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. If the Lord says it, he means it. It's good that we know that in our own strength, there is no strength against our enemies. And God has always outnumbered his people by the enemies, so that they know this, that they are not able to conquer their enemies without God. But when you add God into the picture, you should be full of faith. Yeah, because of two things. He sent you, he gave you authority, and he is with us. He is not sending us alone, he is with us. Moses complained for a whole chapter to God. Lord, don't send me. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. Well, he said, surely I will be with thee. You know, same thing. Correcting him, helping him to understand that this has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me, you know. And in chapter 7, in verse 12, and it says, the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels without number as the sand which is upon the seashore for multitude. So this is what God sent him against. Did he need to go and look at them first, so that he would be fearful? Did he need to walk by sight and go and look at this? Well, no, he just needed to go. And look at the wimpy weapons God gave him to go, you know. First, he whittled his company down to a measly little 300 men, and then he gave them pitchers with torches in them. And... and a trumpet, you know. This is what he used to conquer his enemy. I mean, I know that there's a message in that. We've talked about it before. But the truth is, you need nothing but God. You know, I mean, he made it purposely impossible. He told Gideon, he said, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. So God always puts us against an overwhelming enemy, so we know that we can't save ourselves. But that does not mean that God can't save us. And it does not mean that he can't use us in the midst of the battle to do this. So this is what he wants to know, wants us to know. Not how big we are compared to the enemy. It's how big God is compared to the enemy. And has he said for us to go? And has he given us this battle? And that's all you really need to know. And once you know that, you should go in full faith that God is going to do exactly as he says. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, in verse 20, we see Saul, you know, looking for his asses when he runs across the prophet, right? Samuel. And as for thine asses, they were lost 3 days ago. Set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for thee and for all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou unto me after this manner? Yeah, good question. Well, the prophet straightened him out, and he needed to be that humble. He should have stayed that humble, but he didn't. In chapter 15, verse 17, Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And also 16, verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. This is our problem. We look on the outward appearance. Our sight is phony in the kingdom. We don't see as God sees. We don't have our eyes washed to be like the doves in Song of Solomon. But the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. In other words, he didn't even need maturity, for this is the youngest of the sons, who was obviously more mature in things of the Lord, you know, than his older brothers, because of his experiences and because of his love for God. David was walking in strength of the Lord. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send forth and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look upon. The Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. This is what's necessary, is the Spirit of the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so the Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward. And that's what made David what he was. And, of course, we went on to say the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul because he became great in his own eyes. And, of course, he began to lose the battle at that time. From then on, he began to lose the battle. So it's not comparing ourselves against the enemy ever, spiritual enemies or physical enemies. It's not comparing that. It is our trust in the Lord our God, who has already delivered us and made us free to walk in him, given us the power. As the Lord said unto Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. And he generally chooses weak vessels, but vessels that trust in him, that's what he chooses. And so back in Numbers 13, and when they saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came of the Nephilim, they were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so on. And, of course, the only two men that actually walked by faith in God and not in themselves and not in their own ability, who actually saw the giants and overcame through this, and perhaps that's another reason that God does permit this, you know, is that to try and to see who it is that really believes. Sometimes the overwhelming enemy that comes against us is for that purpose, to find out, are we really being a believer? Are we really trusting in Him, or are we trusting in ourselves? And of course, if the size of the difficulty looks like a giant to us, then we're trusting in our own ability and not in God's ability. Remember that the giant here is the old man itself. It's the ego. It's the Antichrist. It is all those things, you know. But to us, it's a giant. The whole world, Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my namesake. The whole world is going to be turned against Christianity in the very, very near future. And we certainly don't need to look at their numbers nor their size. We need to look at the Lord. He is our Savior. He is our strength. He is not only going to go ahead of us, He is going to be with us and in us, and He is going to guide us by His fire by night and His Shekinah glory by day. And He will give us the victory, because He's already given us the victory. We just need to believe it. Go in this thy might and save Israel. He says, what might? You know, haven't I sent thee? Well, it's powerful that we know that we're in the will of God by His word, by the written word. If you're not convinced that in this battle the Lord has already given you the victory, you need to study the scriptures. If you're not convinced that He wants to give you victory over that old man, study the scriptures. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. You need to take the sword of the Spirit to go into the promised land to put to death the old man, and you need to sharpen your sword by studying the scriptures. Because they are the sword of the Spirit. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore doth the Lord bring us into this land to fall by the sword? And our wives and our little ones will be a prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. I know you've seen it, I know I've seen it, that people that walk in unbelief, they will make them a captain, and they will return to Egypt. I have seen it, or Babylon, depending upon, you know, which parable you want to see fulfilled. But the truth is, there are a lot of people that come out with you, they're so eager to go to the promised land, but the first time they reach, they see something bigger than them, they're ready to go back. Go back to their old ways. Go back to their Egyptian lives. Go back to the bondage that they had in Egypt under the old man. They're ready to go back, and they do go back. They do go back. I've spoken about some of our enemies who have snuck in to take captive people who did not have a love of the truth and did not have a faith in God. And I've said before that they're ready to take them back to Babylon, and sure enough, they'll do it. And that's good, because it cleanses the people of God. It cleanses them of those people whose hearts melts in their midst, and those people who will put fear in their heart, you know. The Lord uses deception, folks. He uses it to cleanse the body of Christ. Those that love God and keep His commandments will not be deceived. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land. Notice it didn't have anything to do with how strong they were. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is removed from over them. It's true of us too, folks. The old man's defense is removed from over him. It's removed by your own faith. It's removed by your own baptism that you believe the old man was put to death in the watery grave, right? Their defense is removed from over them. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the old man has no power to defend against the sword of the Spirit? And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation made stone them with stones. Listen, Joshua and Caleb believed the Lord so much, they were willing to stand up and say to the rest of them the truth and defend the Lord before them. They were taking their life in their hand. It was obvious that they did this. And throughout history, there have been those that did this, that have taken their life in their hands to stand up for the Lord and to defend the Lord and to speak the word of God and to give the clear command that the Lord has given. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting unto all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me for all the signs which I have wrought among them? I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a nation greater and mightier than they. And so it was, too, that the Lord, he said, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, verse 28. And be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. That can be both positive and negative, you know. They believed that they were going to die, and they did. And they spoke it with their mouth, and it came to pass. And back in verse 20, he says, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. When Moses, the intercessor, stepped forward and interceded for the people, he said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but in very deed as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men that have seen my glory and my signs which I wrought in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet they have tempted me these 10 times, that is, in the wilderness, and have not hearkened unto my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that despise me see it. Well, folks, you have no choice but to see the land and to conquer the land and to take over the land. That's how the fruit is born in the land. You have no choice but to do this, and to do it, you must be one of those who walks by faith. Actually, the Lord is looking for the faith people. That's what he's not looking for, the whole congregation. Many are the called, but few are the chosen. And the chosen are those that bear fruit, and they only bear fruit because they have faith. Praise be to God. So he temporarily pardoned them, but he reminded him that all these men saw his glory and his signs which he wrought in Egypt. We did too. We saw what God did in Egypt. We saw that he conquered our old man. We saw that the blood of the Lamb set us free. We saw in the Red Sea the old man washed up on the seashore, dead. We saw this in our baptism, and we proclaimed it by faith, and we accepted it. But now we're tempted to believe that God's not going to bring it to pass. And he says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that despised me see it. Well, don't think that just because religious folks proclaim that they're going to heaven, that they actually are, because some are not, because they are not bearing the fruit of the land. The old man is living in the land, and the Lord said, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That is the spiritual man conquering the old man who lives in the land right there. He went on to say, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And verse 30 says, surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you to dwell therein. See, some people say, well, God's not an Indian giver. He can give you something and then take it away, you know. But the truth is, if we don't keep our part of the bargain, he can certainly do that, because we're the one that broke the covenant, not him. We break the covenant through unbelief. God's promises are all conditional. All of them are conditional. Concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, said Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones that you said would be a prey, them will I bring in. They shall know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years. And you shall bear your whoredom until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness. Now, I know you don't want to be destroyed physically or spiritually, especially in this coming wilderness. I know that you want to be there. You want to conquer your enemy. You want to lose your old life. And you want Jesus to stand up in you. Well, don't consider the size or the number of the old man. Don't consider the size individually in your own life, and don't consider the size corporately out there in the world. The world has a mighty army, quite big enough to totally overcome us unless we walk by faith in the Lord, who says he's going before us. And not only is he going before us, he is with us. And it's his power that's done this, and he has given us the land. In fact, not only do we have this physical land that we walk in, but this, everything that you see out there belongs to us. We are joint heirs with Christ. This is not their land. This is our land. We are joint heirs with Christ. We inherit all things with him. That is, he said, if we overcome. That's the condition. We have to overcome. Otherwise, we'll lose that right along with all the rest of them. We'll lose that privilege, that benefit, along with all the rest of them. But God is faithful. If we walk by faith in him, which is something that from the least to the greatest we can do, if we walk by faith in him, it has nothing to do with our might and our power. It has to do with his might and his power, which he's already given us at the cross. He goes on to say a little bit later on in verse 36, and the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up an evil report against the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. And of course, these men were privileged to walk into the land and be among those that had overcome their enemies and see the great victory. Even Moses didn't walk into the land, but these men did. And Moses said this happened to him for their sakes. And it did. It really did happen for our sake, because we understand that the law or religion or religious laws or anything like that can make us, can bring us into this land. The only thing that can bring us into this land is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to believe in what God said, like Caleb did, like Joshua did. We believe in what he said. Read the New Testament, folks. If you've been told that it's not possible, then you haven't read the New Testament. You don't believe what's written there. And you don't believe that the old man is dead, that he has no power against you, that the Lord has given us the victory, he's made us more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, all things, including conquer the old man, including the overcomers in this world, including overcoming every form of temptation. You know, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the Bible said. You know, we need to get our eyes off of the giants and get our eyes on the Lord and his greatness and his power, and what he has promised that he will do. And if we can't do that, we're not true believers. We were not elect from the foundation of the world. We were called, but we won't be chosen. And so we're proven, folks, whether we're really believers or not. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't spend time looking at the world. Spend time looking at the Word. No, the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If there's anything that we need, is to be transformed. And of course, the Bible is speaking about transformed into the image of Christ. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So that's our transformation. We have to let the word that the sower sowed, we have to let that into our hearts so that it brings forth the fruit of Jesus, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus, as Joshua, had no problem going into the promised land in full boldness of faith and bringing the children of Israel in. It was given unto Joshua after Moses to bring the children of Israel into their promised land. He said, God said of Joshua, he said, you're going to make this people to inherit this land. He said in verse Joshua 1 and 6, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and observe to do it according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For there shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Good success in conquering this old man, putting him to death, taking him out. You know, the weapons that the Lord has given us in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor that the Lord's given us is invincible. It says so there. It's invincible. We just need to put it on. We just need to swing it. We just need, you know, verse 12 says, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These take advantage of our flesh to conquer us. And wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The promise is to the overcomers. They will have no problem, because Jesus in you can handle this enemy. And he can handle their gods, which are these principalities and powers and world rulers, you know, so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness comes from believing the truth. You're justified or accounted righteous because you believe the truth. And having, if you believe the enemy, if you believe in the enemy, you're going to die in the wilderness. That's what he said. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. How can he conquer you, you know, if you have your shield of faith? If you believe what God says, and you take a look at the enemy, you're going to see God bigger than the enemy. You're going to see God's word as truth, and the enemy has no power over you. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. Amen. The Lord has given us the victory, saints. We can go in this battle and win because he is with us and he is in us. And he's given us the total victory in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.
Doesn't really matter who I am or where I'll be. My point is to be used to make a difference. I don't need to make history. And all that I could be, I can only count it as loss, 'cause it could never stand to what I should be.